Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
The following is a review from the Serotalk Weekly Podcast. You can find this and more at our website, www.serotalk.com.
I'm joined again this week by Mike Calvo, and this time we're going to talk about some Bluetooth headsets. And Mike, I know that we've gotten some questions through the podcast email correspondence about what would be some good Bluetooth headset choices, and I believe you've been doing some research on that yourself, right?
I have. I was asked on Twitter, and as you alluded to in the emails as well, I've done reviews of just regular earpieces or Bluetooth headsets or earpieces, or the word is really interchangeable, on the podcast before. I've done things like the Jawbone with Noise Assassin and some Motorola stuff way back in the day, and just various things to talk on your phone. And these headsets that I'm going to talk about today, you can do that. But I will tell you right off the bat that that is not their main forte in life. So the quality of the audio that the person on the other end is going to get out of these headsets, as far as you sounding great, is not going to be real high. These things are music headsets that happen to have telephony stuff built in. They're not telephony things that happen to have music built in. And that's an important distinction when you buy one of these things. I mean, the reality is that people, you're gonna have a compromise one way or the other. If you're using your one ear earpiece to listen to music, well, you're going to have cheapy, nasty sound, or maybe pretty good sound, but in one ear, but a great phone conversation. But if you listen to these, as you'll hear, you're going to have some pretty nice sound, but you're not going to have the greatest in telephone conversation, meaning you're going to sound like you're on a speakerphone to the other person. Okay. And if that doesn't bother them, you know, then that's all good, right?
Right. Sounds great. Well, we have four today to talk about. Let's start with the Sony DRBT50.
And I love Sony, by the way. I want to start out by saying that because I'm going to be highly critical of Sony. And the reason I'm going to be highly critical of Sony is the price tag.
Yeah.
Okay. These headphones, Sony quotes them at list being $249.
Wow.
Okay, for a pair of headsets. Now, that's normal. I don't get the sticker shock I used to from Sony. And Sony makes really, really good consumer audio stuff. I don't like some of the fact that Sony's done a lot of proprietary stuff in the past. And even in these headphones, some of the things they do is still a little proprietary. I'll go into that in a second. But as far as price goes, Sony isn't the lowest price in the bunch. So as a good consumer, I like to make sure I get good bang for my buck. So, of course, I looked at them on Sony. They were $249 on SonyStyle.com, but they were on special for $199. So I took a trip over to my favorite place to go shopping, and that is Amazon.com. You can find the links on the to Amazon, which is ultimately where I got this stuff, on our show notes. Interestingly enough, Amazon, who claims to be a Sony authorized retailer, had the list price at $199, which is $50 cheaper than Sony said the retail list was. But I did find them from Amazon at $114 with Amazon Prime. So as being the big user of Amazon Prime that I am, I said, I'll take that. And 2 days later, they were at my front door. So let's start with the good. Okay. The first thing about these things is the sound. I mean, if you're buying a pair of headphones, first and foremost, you want them to sound good.
Yeah.
Sony does not let you down. Oh my gosh. These things are just the most amazing sounding A2DP headsets. And A2DP is the protocol, the Bluetooth standard or protocol that's used to communicate from your Bluetooth device, whether it's your phone or a sound system or whatever, to these headphones. And what A2DP allows you to do is, of course, it allows you to send music or stereo sound, really high quality stereo sound. And I know that Patrick is probably over there clenching his teeth as the engineer going, yeah, right. It's consumer grade, good stereo sound to these earphones. So we've got good sound, great sound, nice bass. They're loud, the highs, they're full, okay? The battery, you want to make sure you have enough battery in your device because you don't want to constantly be plugging it in, right? So
correct.
This thing gives you 17 hours, man, of battery on one charge after 3 hours. So that is a really, really good thing. Now, moving, segueing into the bad, starting with that, of course, the first problem with that is that unlike other devices, you can't charge these things via USB by plugging them into your computer. While I'm not a fan of products that require you to plug into your computer exclusively, that's not always necessary anymore. You can now buy a wall plug that will emulate what your computer does. So it's great when you have that option. Unfortunately, Sony, being the proprietary company that it is, does not do that. They send along yet another thing I'd have to carry in my bag to plug into the wall when I want these headphones to work. Not only that, but it's this itty-bitty little cord that is not a standard of any kind. So if I lose it and Sony didn't license out that tip to anybody, I'm probably going to pay an arm and a leg for a replacement power supply. So that was strike one for Sony.
Yes. So if that being strike one, what is strike two?
So strike two would be the fact that while Sony makes an attempt at providing controls right on the earpiece of the unit so you can run your device, your phone or what have you, and that would be the fast forward, the rewind, the pause, the volume. First of all, these buttons are on the right-hand side on the back of the unit. They're tiny. I would submit that even a blind person that has good tactile skills, that has good memory, we're used to doing this stuff, right? We're used to finding, you know, things in the dark, if you will, or finding things without looking at them. Dude, this thing is crazy. You could just as easily hit the next track button by mistake, which is this lever thing that, by the way, the lever, you push it up and you go backwards. You push it down and you go forward or something like that. And then you push it in if you want to pause. So I can just see, you know, trying to pause it and oops, going forward or backward, or pausing it because in my case, for example, a great song came on, Pandora. And I said to my wife, oh, honey, you got to hear this. Oh, wait, I'll be right in. So I tried to pause it. And of course, first thing that happened was the moment I touched that button, it skipped to the next song.
Yeah.
You know, the volume control, it's right there. So the buttons on this thing are not well placed at all, in my opinion. I mean, it was just, oof. While I understand that I said before that the mic on the unit, strike three, but unfortunately there's more than three strikes. The mic sounds horrendous. And again, I want to remind the listeners that I'm holding Sony to this standard because, hello, it's a $250 pair of headphones. Right. So this thing better sing and dance and wash the floor, dude. You know,
absolutely.
The next thing, I'm not a claustrophobic person. And I enjoy the sanctity of my listening environment. I really like to kind of tune the world out. Dude, these things take that whole experience to a whole new level. Not only do you feel like you have a boa constrictor across the top of your head holding these things to your ears. I mean, it really feels like somebody's got their hands on your ears. All right, listen. You know, I know I'm being really hard on Sony, but again, $250. Yes, I got them for $114, but I was not as happy about the $114 either. You know, for if I'm paying over $100, which is a lot of money, for a pair of headphones, again, they better meet all these expectations. And we continue down the bowling alley of strikes here with the proprietary nature of the plugging this thing in. That's another one of my big pet peeves. Because, you know, when I travel, and by the way, have you seen, Jamie, that now JetBlue, of course, our favorite, is now charging $25 if you want to carry your bag under the plane, and heaven forbid you want to do it carry-on, they're going to charge you $35 for a carry-on, Jamie.
Goodness.
For a carry-on. Can anyone say rage?
Yeah.
Another thing that really irked me about these headphones that sound great, I got to remind you, they sound great. They sound awesome. Was the lack of an accessible manual. No accessible manual in the box. Okay, that's fine. I don't expect a piece of software or a CD in there. But hello, at least provide me on the Sony website, on the Amazon website, some sort of a PDF download. But no, I had to go register with some site that I've never heard of, something Owl, Tech Owl, or I don't even know what it was. The word owl was in it. And I found the manual there. And then to add insult to injury, when they discussed pairing the device, they used pictures to describe the light patterns. So what it looks like this, you know. So it was just not blind friendly at all. It did require a sighted person to help me a little bit. Now, the one thing I can say about them is once they got paired, they stayed paired. They worked very, very well with my iPhone. I found out, in case anybody cares, that the equalizer settings on your iPhone for various settings, pop or bass or dance or whatever, they do not translate to the Bluetooth. So you get it flat out of the iPhone. I never knew this until I did this this test, you know, this review. But nope, it doesn't. That doesn't stop the Sonys from sounding really great. But I'll tell you, I would definitely, if you want to buy these things or look at them, get them from a place that you can return them if you don't like them, or go down to a Sony store if you have one in your neck of the woods and try them on and see if they're worth it to you. Amazon, of course, has a 30-day return policy. I suggest you take advantage of that. I no longer have them in my possession. I sent them back. I just didn't want them. I had absolutely no, not even a corner case where I would use these, because it was just, I couldn't listen to them for more than 15, 20 minutes at a time without feeling that my ears were getting warm, without feeling that something was squeezing my head. They are around the ears. They do a great job at canceling out the world. And that might have freaked me out a little bit too, is, you know, being blind and not being able to know anything about the world around me. But I've used other headphones that didn't quite drive me that crazy. So for me, they get a 5 out of 10.
Okay. So let's talk about the GeoGroove Solace Air ergonomic headset.
Oh, I love these things. These things are awesome. They're awesome for a couple of reasons. And before I give the kind of the commentary on why I like them, let's talk about price first. First of all, price. I said, okay, well, I know what $200 will buy me, or $250 or $114, depends on where you buy them, who you listen to, whatever. What can I find for under $100? And I found these. These retail for $74.95. I found them actually for $39.99. It was with free shipping. It was not on Amazon Prime. It was through someone else, through Amazon. But it was free shipping. I have seen them, though, for as low as $24. And whether it's $39 or $24, here, this package gives you your money's worth. So, of course, being that it is a lower price package, I was a little kinder. I was a little more forgiving about certain aspects. But let's talk about those as we go. First of all, the good. I listen to a lot of books. I don't listen to so much music, but I listen to books. I mean, I do listen to some music, but mostly I listen to books.
Right.
And as many of our listeners do, I like falling asleep wearing earphones. And these do that. They have an interesting way of fitting on your head. What they do, Jamie, is they have each earpiece is round, kind of like a picture of a flat lollipop, okay? And that goes on your ear with a nice soft pad, okay? And picture if you had the lollipop stick, okay? And it's a little bit thicker than a lollipop stick, but not by much. Holding these two earphones together. So the lollipop stick is really long and it goes over the top of your head and around, okay? So it doesn't so much hold on to your head as kind of refer to your head. You know what I'm saying? It just kind of, there's a couple of little points that on your head that it touches. So at first, when you put them on, it's a little disconcerting because you say, well, these things are going to fall off. You know, they don't feel like they're secure. They are. And as you use them, you'll see that they really do stay on your ears. You almost forget that you're wearing these things. I mean, they're really, really nice to wear. You can still hear the room around you, so they're not going to shut out the world like the Sonys do.
Right.
So provided you're not in this very, very loud room with a bunch of kids and TVs and all that stuff, you're going to really enjoy wearing these. And that's an important thing. Now, notice with the Sony, I started out with the sound. Okay. Mm-hmm. The sound is really nice on these. It's not the Sony's. It's not as loud as the Sony's. It's not as bassy as the Sony's or as full as the Sony's. In some respects, you don't get the volume out of it that you did the Sony's. But you do get what I would consider to be pretty reasonable, nice music. If you're listening to like hip hop and dance music and, you know, and hard heavy metal and stuff like that, and you like to, you know, just teeth grinding racket in your ears, hip hop or whatever, or headbanger stuff, these aren't going to be the ones for you. If you're looking for a pair of headphones that you can listen to all day at the office because you don't want your coworkers to be listening in on your music all the time, if you want to wear them on a nice train trip or a bus trip or whatever, these are the ones you want. And at the price point, it's not a big deal. They're very easy to pair. You know, all you do is you hold down the power button and it gives you this multi-tone, like a beep, 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 you know, and then you keep holding right. the power button for a couple of seconds and it gives you another little tone and that's it. It's in pairing mode and it doesn't require a code. But if you do need one, the one page manual that comes with these things says that you can use 0000. I didn't even bother looking for a manual online because it was one page. I threw it on the scanner and that was it.
Yeah.
But it was really easy to pair. The battery life, incredible, 15 hours, okay, on a two-hour charge. Mm-hmm. And the two-hour charge, by the way, USB cable.
Nice.
You can carry one of your mini USBs, not the micro USBs. You know, I found a problem, by the way, with these micro USB plugs. You know, the ones that you use on the cell phones and stuff, the little micro ones that have the two little teeth that,
right.
that grab on? Those little teeth, after a while, for whatever reason, they have springs behind them. After you use them for a while, they get bent in such a way that the teeth retract. And those teeth are what make contact with the device, which makes your charging turn on and off, on and off. So hopefully they'll change that design at some point in time in life. That's not a problem with these things. It's just a problem with that micro USB standard. I've had to change the plugs on several of my devices for that reason. But that being said, you know, you can pick up one of those cables for a dollar or two just about anywhere. So it doesn't really, you know, and the beauty, of course, of all of these micro or mini USBs is they're all interchangeable. So, you know, you plug it into your computer, 2 hours later, boom, it's working. I mean, it's charged. And the cool thing, by the way, is that you can still use them while they are charging and they will charge just as well. So that's the good thing. So after so much good, what's the bad, right?
Yes.
Let me tell you, let's start with the pairing. I said they're very easy to pair. Well, that's important because you may be doing that from time to time. Unlike the Sony's, which, you know, hold on to your device like a dog with a bone. And, you know, it makes for a very interesting situation, especially with the Sony's, when you've got a couple of different devices paired up to them, because then it's a race to see which one it connects to first. Mm-hmm. This device does not always remember the devices that it's paired to. It takes it a little while. The one thing I would say about both devices, about any of these Bluetooth devices, is it's hard to know when they're connecting. The lights on them show, but the devices, even the iPhone, doesn't really give you much more than connecting or whatever. And at some point, you lose the audio from the iPhone and you don't have the audio quite yet from the device. So you're kind of in this no man's land of, okay, what's going on? You know, yeah. Did my iOS device turn down? And by the way, that is a problem in the iOS devices, is sometimes when you turn off or disconnect a Bluetooth device, you will find that your voiceover has been turned down all the way. And I'm sure that Apple will fix that. So don't hold it against them. If you do find that that happens, I would strongly suggest you write a little letter to Apple and say, hey, this is a problem, because it's something that the mainstream might not catch because, of course, you don't have a bunch of mainstream people using VoiceOver. But it does happen with VoiceOver where it does lower your voice. It happened with the Sony's a lot. It didn't happen with these devices as much. So the pairing is a problem, but again, it's simple. It's just turning off the device, holding the power button, hearing the multi-tones, waiting a second more till you hear the second tone, and then it'll be in pairing mode, and you just pair it again, and that's it. But you don't have to do it all the time. It's just every once in a while. The other thing I didn't like about these is the lack of playback controls. Then again, being the cynic that I am, you know, having the Sony ones was like having none at all anyway, so at least these guys didn't even make an effort. You know, they didn't put... I'm being mean, but you can pause and play. Like, if you're listening to Pandora or listening to music, you can pause and play. You can't advance to the next track. At least I haven't figured out a way to on this. There's no fast forward or whatever. You've got the power button, and you've got the volume rocker switch. That's all you got on these things. And the power button, if you hold it, it becomes a power button. If you click it, it answers the phone. If you double click it and it's in phone mode, it'll dial your last number. The Sony worked with Siri. These do not work with Siri. If you hold the button trying to get Siri to connect or voice recognition to connect, even on an Android phone, the headphones will turn off. So I don't strongly suggest you do that, you know. But all in all, I really like these. I like these a lot. I don't think that that you go wrong, even if you find them on eBay or something and you don't have a lot of opportunity to return them. I mean, it's worth the money. And if you don't really like them for you, they're not a shabby gift to pass on to somebody else. And the price point isn't too bad for you to say, well, you know, I didn't like them for me for whatever reason, but I'll give them to so-and-so. And you can just pass them on. I mean, it's a, you know, obviously I got to do something with them. So, right. And these particular ones, I think I'm going to keep using. I really, really enjoy them, especially in light of the next situation that we're going to discuss. So those are the two extremes, the very expensive and the relatively inexpensive music headphone solutions that I found.
So what if you don't want just a Bluetooth headset for an iPod or an iPad, something like that, an iPhone? What if you have other devices that maybe don't have Bluetooth capability and you need to add them?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because that actually came up as I reviewed these products. You know how Amazon tells you people that bought this also bought that. You know, they're always trying to be so helpful to get you to buy more stuff. But it brought up a great point. You know, we've got some people out there that have devices that are not iOS devices that don't have Bluetooth. And even myself, I am not one of these people that uses my phone for everything. I know people that do. Matt Campbell, for example, he listens to Audible books on his phone. Not a problem. Falls asleep every night when he listens to them, although he does like using a Victor Stream as well. The big thing with him is he likes the ability to navigate on the iPhone and get his Audible books downloaded and all that stuff right onto the device. I personally use an iPod Nano to read all my Audible books. And, of course, you know, Jamie, that the iPod Nano has no Bluetooth. So I said, well, let's start there. Let's look for, do we have an Apple-specific device? Because you've got a bunch of Apple devices, believe it or not, that don't have Bluetooth. You've got the iPod Classics, you've got the iPod Shuffles, you've got a bunch of these different devices that have these 30-pin connectors, you know, these iPod-specific connectors on the bottom, but they don't have Bluetooth. So what I started finding, the first thing I found is an iTunes luxurious black iPod. It's a tiny Bluetooth transmitter for the iPod. And this thing is so small. It really looks like a little circuit. I mean, you know, you ever opened up a circuit board and you feel the you know, the big diodes and stuff on there? That's what this feels like. It feels like a little diode. And you literally plug this thing into the bottom of your iPod. You don't need to do anything else. It doesn't require a battery. It uses the iPod's battery to charge it. And it's constantly sending out a pairing question, you know, here I am, you know, to pair with your headphones. And all you do is you put your headphones into pairing mode and they will find each other and they will connect. And that's it. It's very, very seamless for this thing to work. And again, it's great A2DP audio, very nice, very crispy, great stereo separation, you know, all kinds of stuff. This product is available for $49.95. They don't give you a discount. I don't like that. I really, and that's kind of a problem I have with a lot of Apple stuff. It's not for the bargain hunter. While right. I say that this device is worth what you pay for it in its functionality, in its design, I mean, it is truly a really cool device. $49.95, in light of what I'm about to share with you, is a little rich for me. Like I said, great A2DP sound. There's not much I can say about this besides the fact that it does transmit pretty far. I can have my iPod in my bag or in my pocket or sitting on a table somewhere, and I can walk away up to 33 feet away or 30 feet away, and I don't lose. I don't get a bad signal. I don't get any breakup, you know, none of that stuff. Now, while we were recording, while we were setting up the recording today, Patrick did mention about the delay of these things, and he's absolutely right. There is a bit of a delay between the time that the iPod says something and the time it gets to the earphones. Interestingly enough, while I was trying to pair these things up, what I did was I plugged in a regular pair of earphones into the iPod Nano and listened on those, and then plugged in the Bluetooth device in the bottom of the Nano and then paired the Bluetooth headsets up to it, both the Sony's and the Geogroove headphones. And I was quite amused by the fact that you get a real nice delay. I'd say, oh gosh, it could easily be half a second delay between the time that the analog earphone hears it and the time that the Bluetooth finally gets it into my ear. So there is a delay, and that would probably make for some very interesting situations for a sighted person watching video where they're watching the lips of the person on screen and they're totally out of sync with the audio they're listening to. So the other thing that I really didn't like about this device, Jamie, is that it kills your battery. I mean, I'm talking seriously kills your battery, being the fact that it does not use its own battery because it doesn't have one. Also, the fact that your iPod Nano was probably not created to carry the weight of a Bluetooth transmitter. It takes an iPod Nano that usually runs 10 to 12 hours on one charge down to about 4. I mean, it's a significant, you know, and when you're dealing with, wow, I've got 4 hours on my iPod and 15 hours on my headphones, that's not good. You know, one good flight will get rid of everything. And it does not take a little bit of time to charge an iPod. I mean, the iPod could take easily, you know, 3-4 hours to charge, 2-3 hours at least to charge. So, I mean, I was not enamored with the battery drain. The other thing, the thing that's the most beautiful blessing about this thing is its similar curse, and that's the size of the device. This company also sells a watch band that you can put your iPod Nano into and plug this device into it and make it all into a watch.
Wow.
And if you do that, that may actually be better, although every time you want to charge it, you got to take it out of there. And, you know, I have one of those wristbands, and you can't charge the device while it's in there. I find it troublesome to get it in and get it out and load it up, and it's just forget it. The Nano as a watch never worked for me. But anyway, the ability to lose this thing, this little itty bitty circuit looking thing that costs $50, just turned me off. So for me, I'd give it probably about a 6 out of 10. You know, if asked to give it on a 1 to 10. Again, you may want to try it. Your mileage may vary, but I can't recommend this thing as your end-all, be-all solution for your iPod in light of the next device I have here. And this is made by a company called Miccus, M-I-C-C-U-S, and it's called the Mini Jack Bluetooth Transmitter. This thing, and the listeners may have heard of this before, is a device that you connect into the eighth-inch jack of any device with an eighth-inch jack, and it will add Bluetooth to it. It will allow you to take the audio from that device and transmit it to any earphones or any Bluetooth device in the vicinity, be that your car radio, be that headphones, be that the Bose sound dock over here with Bluetooth. It paired up quite nicely with that. And let me tell you, 8 hours of battery life on this thing, $37 price tag. I mean, this is the one for me, even with the Nano. I mean, it doesn't add that much size to the Nano. In fact, it's quite reassuring to me that it's a little bit bigger than the other device, and it plugs into the Nano, and you can connect it to just about anything. You have a Victor Stream that doesn't have Bluetooth, connect it to that. You know, you have any other kind of device that's blind specific, or what we would term a blind ghetto device. Everybody gets mad when I say that, so I try not to be controversial. Yeah, right. But any of those devices Bluetooth is almost a given for the most part in audio devices, which is why I applaud companies like Hims that have put Bluetooth in their devices, and I'm sure we'll see it in the upcoming Victor Stream. It is a nice device. It's lists for $49, $36.99. It is available with Amazon Prime. 8 hours, like I said, in battery. You can charge it through the USB on your computer, the mini plug as well. Cool thing about this as well, you can also use it. So if you have to charge your Geo Groove and this dongle at the same time, or this device, you can. And, you know, it really makes for, you know what I really liked it for, Jamie? It was to listen to my MacBook Air. I tried pairing the MacBook Air with the Geo Grooves, and it was just horrible. I spent like 3 hours trying to pair them up, and after a while, it just got to the point where Windows just said, I can't find the device. And I knew it was paired up. I knew it was in discovery mode. It just wouldn't pair. So here, it pairs with absolutely no problem with the Sonys and with the Geo Grooves, and with, of course, with the Bose, the SoundLink here. It paired up with that just fine, and I was able to plug it into whatever I wanted, and that really made it a great product for me. I have very, very little bad anything to say for this. Now, we had talked about things I'd learned throughout this process, and one of the things I learned is that because it uses white space, spread spectrum, whatever you want to call it, just basically open frequencies that are allocated for consumer devices, very similar to the ones that are used for your portable telephones, you know, your cordless phones and things of that nature, you will find that certain things, including your microwave, may interfere. That doesn't mean you're going to get cooked or anything, but they may interfere with your Bluetooth. So, you know, Bluetooth is very convenient. It's very helpful when you want to listen to stuff and not have any wires. There are some caveats. I do enjoy the Geo Grooves to listen to. They have their place. I don't think I would be 100% Bluetooth. I found myself, even after the Geo Grooves, I found myself still plugging in my monaural little earpiece to my Nano, which I just clip onto my belt or onto my shirt and keep connected and listen to my books that way, or my podcasts or whatever. But at the right time, in the right place, in the right settings, I think Bluetooth headsets are the way to go. And the interference, while it was there, it wasn't horrible. I think the shopping experience at Amazon to buy them and test them and see what it was like and what we were going to keep and what we weren't was wonderful. And I want to remind our listeners, Jamie, that Amazon encourages you to buy stuff, test it, send it back. You know, they don't mind. That's exactly why Prime exists. That's exactly why they offer the deals on shipping that they do, so that you can shop from home. And while they don't want you to return everything you buy, because that's not what it's all about, sometimes if the situation calls for it, you do want to exercise your right as a consumer to say, you know what, they just didn't meet my expectations. And sometimes if you buy stuff sight unseen, no pun intended, actually pun totally intended. But if you buy something sight unseen after hearing about it here on the podcast or whatever, we encourage you to buy it. If you like it, keep it. If you don't, send it back. Whichever one you do, whether you buy it or you send it back, I want to remind everybody here that all of these websites are consumer driven, and the consumer has a platform that he can make a review. He can review a product and he can say what he thinks about it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So you get your opportunity to get on your soapbox and praise or gripe all you want. And believe it or not, other people look at these things and your opinion really, really does matter. If it doesn't matter to the retailer, and I think our opinions do matter to Amazon in that respect, maybe not in others, but in the particular respect of product quality and if we like a product or not, if we're, you know, how we return things and customer service oriented issues, Amazon's very good. So they do listen. But I know that there's a very active community of reviewers on Amazon that are always posting reviews about stuff. So do post your reviews. So that's it, man. That is what we've got on Bluetooth connected devices. Please do drop me an email or call us on the Blab line and let us know not only what you thought of this, but what you'd like to see me play with in the future. And maybe we can get it in here and let you know what we think.
Absolutely. And visit the show notes because the links are there. You can check out all these products right from the notes. We've been visiting once again with Mike Calvo here on the Serotalk podcast.
If you found this review useful, or if you wish to contribute your own review, let us know by sending an email to resources@serotalk.com. Send us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB, that's 2522, or send us an iReport on iBlink Radio.